Welcome to the deep dive. In a world that often feels quite turbulent, uncertain even, finding clear direction and living with real purpose seems more crucial now than maybe ever before.
That's right.
Today, we're taking a closer look at a powerful message, really a foundational one, from Brother John. It was delivered June 15th, 2025, from the New Life Benson YouTube channel.
Exactly. And this deep dive isn't just about leadership in, let's say, a general sense. It's really about what it means to be a Christian leader, and frankly, every Christian believer, in what Brother John actually calls today's dark world. His message gives us these practical, biblically rooted insights that are just essential, really, for us to remember and apply as we try to navigate these times.
So our mission for you today is to pull out those essential nuggets of wisdom, the core characteristics Brother John emphasizes. Things that can empower you to live a life of, well, integrity, purpose, and real impact, guided by God's will. We're going to explore how these principles, when you actually live them out, make a profound difference, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of people around us. Let's really lean into these truths.
Okay.
So, Brother John kicked off his message by revisiting three fundamental characteristics, qualities he sees as essential for every single Christian, building on a session from earlier that day.
And it's important, like you said, these aren't just for people with the title leader. Not at all. Brother John makes it very clear. These are for every believer. They set the spiritual groundwork for how we navigate our daily walk, no matter our role.
The very first quality he brought up was integrity. Now that sounds straightforward, but what did he really mean by it in a Christian context, especially now?
It's definitely more than just basic honesty. Brother John defined integrity as radical consistency.
Radical consistency.
Right. It means your actions online, offline, everywhere, they actually align with your declared faith. He really trusts that if you say you're a Christian, you need to live like one.
That's a challenge.
It is. And the deep insight here, I think, is that in this age of, curated online selves and a lot of skepticism, true integrity is that quiet, steady consistency between who you say you are and who you really are, especially when nobody's watching. It means actively avoiding gossip or deception or anything that might undermine your witness. That kind of genuine living, that's what builds trust and reflects God's character to a world that's watching. It's about not leaving your faith behind when you walk out the church doors.
That distinction between just honesty and that radical consistency, that's quite insightful. Okay, so building on integrity, Brother John then moved to self-awareness. What was the focus there?
Well, self-awareness for Brother John isn't just, say, knowing your strengths and weaknesses for a job interview. It's about a deep spiritual understanding of where we fall short and where God's actually calling us to grow. He even suggested a method for this, straight from Scripture, asking God to search us, like David did in Psalm 139. Search my heart, O Lord, and reveal to me my iniquities. The source even reminded us God already knows every thought, every path.
Right.
So this prayer isn't really to inform God. It's to make us aware, intimately aware, of what He already sees so we can get aligned with Him.
So it's like inviting God into those hidden spots. How does that play out day to day?
He gave a very practical example. If you're not great at typing, maybe don't volunteer to take the meeting minutes. It's about knowing your capabilities, yes, but also your limitations.
Okay.
But the deeper point is this. When we do this, when we're honest about where we lack, God reveals those areas. And then, this is the powerful part, He provides the strength, the wisdom, the knowledge to grow right there.
I see.
So it's not just about spotting weaknesses. It's embracing the truth that those very areas of limitation are where God wants to do His most transformative work, turning our vulnerability into a place for His strength to show up. It's really an encouraging picture of divine enablement.
That's a truly profound link between knowing yourself and relying on God's grace to empower you.
Yeah.
What about the third quality then? Communication. He put a specific vital emphasis on that one.
He absolutely did. He stressed that the most vital communication we have is our relationship with God. That's our primary source of strength. God gives us what we need to communicate effectively, even when it's really hard. Brother John mentioned that vulnerability often makes communication tough, especially in close relationships, like marriage. He kind of linked this to spiritual disconnect sometimes, suggesting it can block open, honest talk.
Makes sense.
And here's something really interesting he brought up: body language.
Oh.
It often speaks louder, conveying sincerity or, insincerity much more strongly than just words. He used that simple example of teaching kids to lift their heads and make eye contact.
Right.
It shows how those nonverbal cues are absolutely vital for real connection. It's a reminder that our whole being, everything about us, communicates something.
Okay, so those are the foundational qualities. Then Brother John moved into four more characteristics he felt were essential for navigating today's world, starting with accountability.
That's right. These next ones are really what allow us to move forward with purpose and resilience as Christians right now.
Yeah.
They build on that foundation and help us live impactful lives.
He kicked off this section on accountability with a historical example, Richard Nixon, which certainly grabs your attention. It's a striking way to illustrate the point.
It is, and it helps us focus on the timeless principle, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Without getting bogged down in, you know, present-day politics. Brother John recalled how the U.S. House started an impeachment process against Nixon back in October 73 after the Saturday Night Massacre.
Right.
It was over allegations of interfering with investigations, violating constitutional rights, using agencies like the IRS and FBI for political ends, and setting up that White House investigation unit. Nixon eventually resigned in August 74, before the House even voted on impeachment.
And the link he drew to Christian accountability there is quite stark.
It really is. Brother John suggested that Nixon, during that time, seemed to lose his why, his sense of purpose, partly because he lacked proper guidance. He didn't have people around him who could really hold him accountable, help him make better choices.
Mm.
So this historical example really highlights a universal truth. When leaders, or really anyone, lack that crucial circle of accountability, they can make incredibly poor decisions with wide-ranging consequences. They can lose sight of what truly matters.
So he then broke down accountability for Christians into two vital types. The first was accountability to God.
Absolutely fundamental to our faith.
Yeah.
The Bible clearly teaches every single one of us is accountable to God, period. This means recognizing that every action, every thought, every motive will ultimately be judged by Him. That realization should really push us to live lives genuinely lined up with His will and to earnestly seek spiritual growth. Hebrews 4.13 says it powerfully. God knows and sees everything. And Romans 14.12 reminds us each person will give an account of themselves to God.
And he posed that really searching question, didn't he? Are you ready for God to run your tape?
A vivid image, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really makes you stop and think. But right alongside that serious reminder, there's the amazing freeing gospel message. Yes, the wages of sin is death. Romans 3.23 tells us that. But the glorious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Jesus' death and resurrection dealt with the judgment for our sin. He defeated sin and death, offering us forgiveness and new abundant life. Brother John stressed that this truth should make us rejoice.
Absolutely.
The ultimate goal from Matthew 25.21 is to hear those words. Well done, my good and faithful servant.
It's God giving us his attaboy or attagirl when we've done our best to glorify him. So beyond that vertical accountability to God, he then addressed the second crucial type, accountability to one another.
That's right. He really hammered home a core truth. Christianity isn't a me and God thing. We are part of his body, the church, individually members of one another.
Mm-hmm.
And just like that Nixon example showed the need for good counsel, we as believers need like-minded people in our corner. People willing to lovingly, genuinely call us out when they're off base or making bad choices. People brave enough to say, hey, that's not a good choice. You should repent.
He pointed to several scriptures that illustrate this beautifully, didn't he?
He did, painting a clear biblical picture. Romans 12-point Muir urges us, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. 2 Corinthians 13.11 encourages us to become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace.
Powerful words.
Galatians 6.2 tells us to bear one another's burdens. Colossians 3.13 talks about bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And 1 Thessalonians 5.1 says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another.
There's a clear pattern there.
Absolutely. These verses all point to key themes. Relationship, love, self-giving, kindness, affection, unity, bearing burdens, forgiveness, comfort, building each other up.
And it sounds like he acknowledged this isn't always easy for us.
Oh, definitely. He was very honest, admitting we all struggle with these things sometimes. But the huge benefit of having a good, loving circle of fellow believers is that it creates a space where we can be held accountable and help to adjust our course when we need it.
That's so important.
Mutual accountability, he concluded, is a key function of a healthy church. Hebrews 10.24 points to that. Without it, Brother John stated flatly, it's impossible to be a truly effective Christian leader, or even just a mature Christian.
Okay, so from accountability, Brother John shifted to the vital importance of having a clear vision. Now, that's a word we hear a lot, but he offered a distinctly biblical take on it.
He really did. He powerfully stressed the, well, the awful consequences of chasing an ungodly vision. He explained how people often make terrible decisions based on visions that aren't aligned with God's will, ending up in situations far worse than where they started. Biblically, he pointed out the Hebrew word has for vision. It speaks of a spiritual or prophetic vision, looking ahead, discerning long-term plans, dreams, ideals that come from God.
Okay.
So for leaders, and really for all Christians, it's critical to have a God-given vision for your family, for your church, and definitely for your own personal walk with God.
And he gives some powerful biblical examples of people with these God-given visions, showing how central this is throughout Scripture.
Oh, absolutely. The Bible is full of them. He mentioned Noah, obviously, with the vision for the ark. Isaiah receiving prophetic visions about the future, about Christ. Joseph with his dreams that ultimately saved nations. Jacob's latter dream connecting heaven and earth. Daniel, Peter, Paul, Cornelius, John receiving the incredible visions in Revelation, even Habakkuk. And most profoundly, Jesus himself, whose vision was to rescue humanity. These are amazing examples of God-given purpose and foresight.
He then used Zechariah chapters 1 through 11 as a really compelling case study, how God develops and confirms vision. What does Zechariah's story teach us?
Well, first, Zechariah tells the people how they got into their mess. It was because of their ancestors, their fathers, disobeying God, which made God angry.
Okay.
Then comes this incredible call to repent in verse 3. Return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you.
It's huge.
It emphasizes God is always there, always ready for relationship. He doesn't move away. We do.
That's a crucial reminder.
And there's a strong warning in verse 4. Do not be like your fathers. This hits on breaking what Brother John called generational curses, those negative patterns or struggles that can get passed down. It urges us to actively choose God's path to break those cycles.
That's really practical. So what was the core lesson about vision from Zechariah?
What's really striking is that Zechariah receives 8 powerful visions after he steps out in faith and delivers God's message.
Oh, interesting. After.
Yes. The lesson seems to be that God often calls us to obey and deliver his message first, even when we don't have the full picture. It's in that act of trusting him, that humble obedience, that clarity and vision often follow. It proves our trustworthiness before the big reveal, so to speak.
So we need to act in faith first sometimes.
Seems so. And therefore, visions must be, as he put it, cross-referenced with God, checked against his word, aligned with his will. God will either bless it or curse it based on that alignment. It underscores his sovereignty.
That's a powerful check on our own ambitions, isn't it? Seeking divine confirmation. Okay, the next crucial characteristic, decision-making.
Yes. Brother John really emphasized that a Christian leader, and truly every Christian, has to be a good decision-maker. We need to deeply understand that our choices have consequences, positive or negative, not just for us, but for those around us too.
Mm-hmm.
He prompted us to think about all the biblical examples of poor decisions. David, Saul, Samson, Eve, Judas, Adam, Aaron, Lot's wife, Pharaoh, Jonah, the list goes on. The sheer number of these examples is a learning opportunity for us, a real warning to choose carefully.
It is remarkable how many cautionary tales there are. But he also gave examples of good decisions, offering hope and a model to follow.
Absolutely. On the flip side, he highlighted people like Paul, the disciples making that life-changing choice to follow Jesus, Mary, Daniel, and of course Jesus himself, the ultimate example.
Right.
And he explained that the source of good decisions is gaining wisdom from God. Proverbs 4.7 says it plain, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Yeah. And in all you're getting, get understanding.
Get understanding.
Exactly. Gaining this godly wisdom helps us understand ourselves better, make truly better choices in this complicated world, and ultimately glorifying God. It's more than just head knowledge. It's applied understanding that leads to righteous, impactful living.
And finally, Brother John wrapped up his message with the profound characteristic of servanthood, such a central, defining aspect of Christian faith.
It really is, the very heart of it. He focused on Jesus' own words in Matthew 20. Whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many.
And he gives some interesting context for that teaching too, didn't he? It wasn't just dropped out of nowhere.
Right. He explained that the disciples, after hearing Jesus promise them thrones back in Matthew 19, seemed to be thinking about earthly power. They kind of wanted a better deal, positions of authority. They even sent their mom to ask Jesus for the top spots. Matthew 20 tells that story.
Yes, I remember.
But Jesus didn't shut down their desire for greatness. Instead, he completely redefined it. True greatness, he taught, isn't found by grabbing status, but by humbly serving others and putting God first, consistently. It's not about stepping on people or using privilege wrongly. And Brother John made a great point. Genuine humility isn't being a doormat. It's a powerful pathway to real, lasting impact for God's kingdom.
So how does this idea of servanthood play out in our everyday lives as Christians beyond, say, volunteering at a soup kitchen?
Brother John offered several really practical, meaningful ways. We can consistently pray for people. We can call them, genuinely check in. We can uplift them, speak life into their situations with our words.
Those are powerful.
We can reassure them with scripture, share the good news, the gospel, and critically forgive them, extending the same grace and mercy Christ showed us.
Forgiveness, yes.
The core principle, he said, for us as leaders, as Christians, is to truly serve. Put God first, then others. When we live like that, everything else will kind of trickle down into its proper divine order. It reflects God's design for how we should live and interact.
This deep dive really has highlighted those essential qualities Brother John talked about. Integrity that makes our witness real. Self-awareness that opens us to God's power. Communication with God strengthening our core.
Accountability to God and each other, keeping us on track. A God-given vision directing our path. Wise decision-making rooted in his wisdom, and that truly transformative power of servanthood. That sums it up well.
These aren't just nice ideas for a sermon, are they? They feel like the very characteristics that empower us to be, well, a light in a world that desperately needs one, to actually live out our faith with impact.
Exactly. They remind us that our walk with God, while deeply personal, is never, ever private. It affects everything and everyone around us.
So, as you reflect on all this, maybe consider this thought. In what tangible ways does your daily pursuit of integrity, self-awareness, communication with God, accountability, vision, good decision-making, and servanthood not only strengthen you, but actually shape the spiritual atmosphere around you? What's one small intentional step you could take this week to embody one of these characteristics more fully for God's glory and for the real good of those around you?
We really hope this deep dive has encouraged you, helped you see that you are a leader right where you are in your community, your sphere of influence, and that these characteristics can guide you day in and day out as you seek to live faithfully in these challenging times. Thank you for joining us for this crucial deep dive.